Good morning. Today's daf in Sukkah Tetzvav. We are starting today on the mission, the very top of Tetzvav Amud Aleph, a continuation of yesterday's discussion regarding Zeres Tikra. The Chachamim were afraid that if our sukkahs start to look like our house, so Mali Zeh, what's the difference between living in my house and living in the sukkah? It's the same. So, you know what? Let's just pack up. Let's just go back into the house. So as a result of that, the Chachamim said that if the beams, the wooden beams that are used to make schach, even though technically they're kosher, meaning they qualify as schach kosher, and let's just quickly review the qualifications of what schach kosher would look like. It has to be gedulei karka, grown from the ground. It has to be detached from the ground. And it has to be in makabel tumah. It has to be something that's not susceptible to tumah. So you have flat wooden boards. It doesn't matter how wide they are. So ostensibly they're fine. They're a check on terms of all the qualifications and the criteria of kasher schach. When it comes to a wooden utensil, if it's flat, it doesn't have a toch, so it's not makabel tumah. So it's fine. But meanwhile, the chachamim were concerned that if it starts looking like the beams of your house, so then what's the difference if I'm here, if I'm there? And so therefore the Chachamim made what's called Gzeres Tikra. All right, that's the easy way to explain it. Now the details and it gets technical. Even before we start with the Mishnah, so let's review what we learned yesterday. So on Yud Aleph Aleph, so we were introduced to this via the Mishnah right in the center of Yud Aleph Aleph. And the Mishnah says that whether or not you could be Mesachech Ben Azarim, it's a machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda says that you can be Mesachech Ben Azarim. Rabbi Meir says that you cannot be Mesachech Ben Azarim. Also, what we learned yesterday is that this machlokes, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, happens to be a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. Rav and Shmuel debate exactly how to frame the machlokes, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. Let's start with Rav. Rav says that the machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir is when you're talking about the Neser is four Tfachim, where Rabbi Yehuda says it's fine and Rabbi Meir says it's not fine. It's Usser, Mishum Gzera. However, if it's less than four tefachim, divrei hakol, according to everybody, it'd be fine. Let's put this in other terms. According to Reb Yehuda, as explained by Rav, there is no gzeres tikra. And according to Reb Meir, there is a gzeres tikra. All right. It takes a while to digest. All right. I've been going over this a number of times. So by all means, keep digesting this information. And according to Shmuel says no. How to frame the machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir goes like this. If your nes is dal tfachim, so divrei hakol, it's going to be asur, meaning that there will be gzeres tikra. And less than three tfachim, divrei hakol would be mutter. That's kanim ba'alma. The machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, according to Shmuel, is bein gimel adalad. When the board is anywhere between three to four tfachim, so then there's a machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda says it's good. You're allowed to work with it. Use it as chach. And Rabbi Meir says no. It's asur mishum gzeres tikra. All right. That was the machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, and that was the machlokes between Rav and Shmuel, how to frame the machlokes of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. That's already a lot of information, and we haven't even started the daf yet. So with all that stated, if you can just maintain all that information, so let's now learn our Mishnah. Tikr shein aleha ma'aziva. So you have a roof, but it does not have the ma'aziva. A ma'aziva is an extra layer. We can call it pitch. Basically, all you have now are just the slats. You just have the boards. So, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, Beishame, Omer. So now, how do you resolve? Now, first of all, Rashi says over here, Rashi will say throughout the entire sugya, that the boards under discussion are for Tfachim. Look at the first Rashi. On the Mishnah, Stam Tikra, B'Nasarim, Sheyesh, Bahen, Arba'a. So the beams are for Tfachim. And we will assume that throughout the entire sugya. Okay, now, according to Rabbi Yehuda, let's go back to our Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shammai, Omrim, Mefak, Fake, Venotel, Achaz, Mimain, Time. So, Rabbi Yehuda says like this. Here's the machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. So, we're now going one level up, meaning, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the resolution of this roof is a subject to machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Rabbi Yehuda will tell you, this is Beis Shammai's viewpoint. And that is Mefak, Fake. You take every board, you lift it up, you put it back down again. A manipulation of every board. And Venotel Achas may main time. And you also have to take out every other board and replace it with Schach. Does that make sense? Right now, let's say no. And we're going to clarify that in just a little bit. And according to Beis Hillel, you could do either one. Either you could be Mefakfek. You could just simply manipulate the board, lift it up, put it back down again. Venotel Achas may main time. Or take out every other board, replace it with Kasher Schach. Okay. Again, right now, just the facts And we will understand a little bit later on what are the issues over here that Rabbi Yehuda is trying to resolve. Bein lebeit Shammai, bein lebeit Hillel. Again, let's wait. Yeah, the facts are, according to Beis Hillel, either one, and according to Beis Shammai, you have to do both. And I know right now we lack understanding. It's uncomfortable right now because we don't understand why. Okay, understanding will come in just a little bit. Rabbi Meir, according to Rabbi Meir, no tal achas mei ben time, ain't a mafak fake. Rabbi Meir says that you have to remove every other beam, replace it with kasher schach, and ain't no mefak fake. But in other words, manipulating the boards does nothing. It's a helfnisht. Now, at this point in time, so we have the facts down. Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda are going to be arguing in terms of how to resolve this roof that has beams of four tefachim, and it doesn't have the pitch, but it just has the beams, and what to do with it. So again, machlokus between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir giving different reports in terms of what Beit Shammai and Beis Hillel said. So the Gemara says, okay, let's take this step by step. Let's try to understand now each position. Let's start with the Shita Beis Hillel as understood by Rabbi Yehuda. The issue now is Tasav Lamanasri. Those beams over there were put there. Who knows why they were put there? But they were not put there L'shem Sukkah. They were not put there L'shem Sel. They were just there. Okay, so now the issue is Tasav Lamanasri. The resolution of Tasav Lamanasri is very simple. Pick it up and put it down L'shem Sel. Good. So then I understand manipulation. So how do you resolve Tasav Velomanasui? So that's very simple. Either pickbook, which is just pick it up, put it back down again, because now it is not Tasav Velomanasui, but the Asiya is L'shem Sel. The Asiya is L'shem Sukkah. Now again, going back to what we learned back on Daf Tes, it doesn't have to be L'shem Sukkah, it just has to be L'shem Sel. But again, problem resolved. Or, alternatively, you're going to take out every board and replace it with kasher schach. That certainly is a maisa. Now, let's just remind each other, if I'm taking out every other board and replacing it with schach, how exactly did that help? Meaning those beams are four tfachim. So now I have areas of schach, four tfachim, areas of non-kasher, areas of schach. How did that help? So Rashi points out, and we're going to see this a couple days from now, that what we're going to have to say is that it's a very specific sukkah, and by taking out every other in the center, there are going to be two contiguous beams that were removed and replaced with kasher schach. So that means in the center you have eight tefachim of kasher schach. Okay, we'll get to that later on. Anyway, but Ella Beit Shammai. So fine. So now you understand that for Beis Hillel the problem is Tasav Laman Asui, and the resolution is either or, either being mefak fake or replacing every other beam. So far, so good. Here's where we're going to struggle. Ela Beit Shammai Matamayu. But now remember Beit Shammai Shita according to Rabbi Yehuda, which is you have to do both. What? You have to do both. So imishim Tasav Laman Asui bechadasagi. So if your problem is Tasav Laman Asui, so then either approach would be fine, but you don't need both. And imishim gzeres tikra. Now maybe over here the issue is gzeres tikra. Now a quick reminder. Let's assume right now that we're learning our Mishnah like Rav, which means that a dalat tefachim, what do we have? A machlokes between Rav Yehuda and Rav Meir. Rav Meir holds of gzeres tikra, Rav Yehuda does not hold of gzeres tikra. So how are we even suggesting gzeres tikra right now, according to Rav Yehuda? So the answer must be, and the Gemara is going to make this point later on, but let's say it right now, is that according to Rav Yehuda, Beis Hillel does not subscribe to gzeres tikra, but Beis Shammai do subscribe to gzeres tikra. Oh, okay, fine. So now, if the issue is gzeres tikra, so benota achas mei ben time sagi. So okay, so if the issue is gzera, so fine. So removing every other board, so that's enough to suffer gzeres tikra. And basically, for Beis Shammai, this idea that you have to do both, like why? If the problem is tasav lamanasui, either one works. If the problem is gzeres tikra, okay, so picking it up and putting it back down again, it's not going to help you. But taking out every other board, that should work. And the idea that you have to do both, that doesn't make any sense. So the Gemara says, fine, you're right. La'ola mishum gzeres tikra. So the issue is gzeres tikra. V'ahachi kamrei. And now what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to reread Beit Shammai and have a better understanding of Beit Shammai. Afa pisha mefak fek, you know, to achaz me time in, ilolo. So Shita's Beit Shammai is the following. Manipulation is insufficient. In fact, not only is it insufficient, it does nothing. And I know it's reading a lot into Beit Shammai, but you have to do this. Otherwise, we simply cannot make sense of Shitas Beit Shammai. You could do Pikbuk, and it doesn't matter. In other words, the only way to resolve the issue is to take out every other board. I mean, obviously, you could take out every board, but in other words, if at a minimum, you take out every other board, and that solves for the problem, because the problem is Gzeres Tikra. So so the Gemara says, okay, so now, I think I got it. According to Beis Hillel, this is now the way Rav Yehuda presents it. According to Beis Hillel, the problem is Tasav Laman Asui. So the resolution is going to be either or. Either you're Mefakfik, or you take out every other board. Good. And replace it with Kasher Schach. Good. And according to Beit Shammai, the issue is Gzeres Tikra. Fine. Pikbuk does nothing. And what Beit Shammai actually meant was that you have to take out every other board. Excellent. So, now as we move to the second part of the Mishnah, let's see if we can still make sense of the Mishnah. Rebbe Meir Omer, no to achas mimein tayem, avalo yifak feg. Rebbe Meir says that what you're going to do is you're going to take out every other board, but you can't do pickbook. Now, what does that mean? So, Rebbe Meir, haino Beit Shammai? So, you mean to tell me now that Rebbe Meir aligns himself with Shitas Beit Shammai? And that's really uncomfortable, meaning when we have machloks between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, so we reject Beit Shammai and we go like Beit Hillel. And now you want to tell me that Rebbe Meir only limits himself to the position of Beit Shammai? So, hachi kamar. No, we'll say like this. Lo nechluka Beit Shammai Beit Hillel bedavar zeh. Oh, no, what Rebbe Meir is arguing with Rebbe Yehuda is that you don't have the right mesora. You think that Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel are arguing about whether or not we subscribe to Gzeres Tikra. We don't subscribe to Gzeres Tikra, where Beit Shammai is a machmer and Beit Hillel is a mekel. No, that's the wrong mesora. Rebbe Meir says that Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel lo nechluku bedavar zeh. They never argued about this. They both subscribe to Gzeres Tikra, and I'm not limited to Beit Shammai. I go like Beit Hillel as well because they never argued over this. Okay, so after struggling with the Mishnah and now finally coming up with a pshat in the Mishnah, so where are we? The same place where we were yesterday. Meaning, when all said and done, so now let's say it out. Again, we're learning the Mishnah right now like Rav. Later in the sugya, we will go back and revisit how did Shmuel understand all this? But right now, let's say over our Mishnah like Rav. Here's what comes out now. According to Rav Yehuda, Gzeres Tikra, Machluk B'chim B'shamay B'Selo. Beit Shammai holds of Gzeres Tikra, Beit Hillel does not hold of Gzeres Tikra. Good, we hold of Beit Hillel, which means that according to Rav Yehuda, there is no Gzeres Tikra, which means that you have a Nesr of Dal Tfachim, so you could use it. That's what we said yesterday. And then according to Rebbe Meir, Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel never argued about this point. They both subscribe to Gzeres Tikra, which means that if you have a beam before Tfachim, it simply will not work. Doesn't matter if you pick it up, put it back down again, it simply will not work. And that means to say that, according to Rebbe Meir, if you have a beam before Tfachim, you can't use it. That's exactly what we said yesterday. So when all is said and done right now, all we did is just went over the same information that we went over yesterday. So, and that's exactly Gemara's next question. My Kamash Malan, Rebbe Meir is like Zeres Tikra, Rebbe Yehuda is like Zeres Tikra, v'ha'if ligubo, chadazimna didna, we go back to yesterday's Mishnah. Misachachim ben Nesarim, Rediv Rebbe Yehuda, Rebbe Meir, Oser. Okay, so we're back to yesterday. So that's great. But again, when you're learning a new daf, you figure we're gonna break some new ground. We haven't broken new ground yet. So I'm Rabbi Chia Bar Abba, I'm Rabbi Yochanan Reisha ben Nisar Mishupa Maskinan Umishum Gzeres Kalim Naguba. All right, so the Gemara now is going to try to inject a Chiddush. Maybe yesterday's discussion is a little bit more sophisticated than what we're doing right now. Meaning today's daf is Gzeres Tikra, which, by the way, forgive me for saying that. Meaning it's also sophisticated. In other words, whether there is Gzeres Tikra or there's not. But maybe yesterday's discussion is much more nuanced, and it's a question of the following. The beams that I'm using in yesterday's daf, so they are, again, it's flat, there's no toch, but they already were cut. It was cut lumber, okay? You're in Lowe's and you're getting 2x4s. I understand Dal Tfachim is a lot more than 2x4, okay? But it's cut. And now, even though, is it Mekabel Tuma? Of course, the answer is no. It's Pshut De Kli Eitz. It's not Mekabel Tuma. But we're closer. Meaning, by virtue of the fact now that it's gone through some processing, so maybe as a result of that, the Chachamim said, we're closer to a Kli, maybe a Gzera. The Gemara says, what are you talking about? Right? We already discussed this point. And what do we do already with this? We rejected this idea. Meaning that even though a Kli is... A wooden kli is closer to being a bona fide kli. I say bona fide, I mean a kli that's makabel tumo. Doesn't matter. Chachamim dynamic gzera. By pshute kli eitz, a chachamim dynamic gzera. We already established this earlier. The Gemara quotes. Remember our arrows are made up in two pieces. The female, the male. The female has a toch, the male obviously does not have a toch. And so the parts of the arrow that are the nekeva, so that's a kli that's mekabel tuma. You can't use them as your schach. But the other half of the arrow, so that you could use as your schach. It's an arrow, or it's a part of an arrow. And all you have to do is now put in the nekeva part, and now you have a bona fide arrow. And yet, what do we say? No gzeira. V'lo gazer zchar matu nekevos. So achinami lo nigzer nesar meshupa matu kelim. There is no gzeira. Meaning by pshute kli eitz, even though it is functional, if it's pshute kli eitz, the chachamim never made gzeira. Here as well, the chachamim did make gzeira. Okay, so rejection. Meaning what we tried to suggest is that maybe yesterday's daf was talking about Nesarim Mishupim, and because it's closer to becoming a Kli, maybe the Chachamim made a Gzera, but now we remind ourselves that no, the Chachamim did not make a Gzera. So Allah Karchach, Resha Pligi B'Gzera Stikra, Sefa Pligi B'Gzera Stikra. Okay, so the Gemara says, good. So here's what we're going to say, Daf Yadalin and Sukkah, yesterday's daf, we had a debate regarding Gzera Stikra. Daf Tezvav, today's daf, we're having a debate about Gzera Stikra, which leads us to the obvious question. So then why repeat the machlokas? Say for Rabbi Yehuda de Ka'amr Leila Rabbi Meir. Amai ka'asart b'nisari mishum gzeres tikra. So what basically what we're saying is the following. You know what today's Mishnah is? It's a continuation of yesterday's Mishnah. I mean, obviously, meaning if you take out the Gemara, you could see it. But now the Gemara is explaining that this is just simply dialogue between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. They're not arguing over a new issue. They are simply now deliberating, they're litigating what was said over in yesterday's Mishnah, which is, Rabbi Meir says to Rabbi Huda, let's go in the other direction. Rabbi Huda says to Rabbi Meir, you think there's an issue of Gzeres Tikra. Hai Svar Lebeit Shamayhu, the Islay, Ubeisil Alo Gazrei. Yeah, right. You know what you did? You misheard. Meaning, you heard that there was a Gzeres Tikra, I'm here to educate you. And tell you that no, there is in the base measures, you'll hear the word Gzeres Tikra. That cheat is Beit Shammai. Beit Shammai subscribes to Gzeres Tikra, but Beis Hillel does not subscribe to Gzeres Tikra. And so therefore, obviously, when between Beit Shammai and Beis Hillel, we're going to go like Beis Hillel. And so your mistake is that when you heard Gzeres Tikra, so you didn't give it the proper attribution. You didn't connect it to Beit Shammai. I'm a Rabbi Meir, lo nechluk Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, b'davrzeh. And the counter argument now of Rabbi Meir to Rabbi Yehuda is, you're mistaken. Meaning my Masara tells me that Beis Shammai Beis Hillel did not argue over this point, and in fact they both agree to Gzeres Tikra. Okay. Adkan, that's the back and forth now, according to the Gemara's final understanding of how to understand our Mishnah. So when all said and done, our Mishnah is just simply the dialogue between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, but in Achinami, it really takes us back to yesterday's daf, yesterday's Mishnah. Okay. So far, so good. Okay. We're not done yet, but basically the first part is a better understanding of our Mishnah in the context of how to relate it to yesterday's Mishnah. Very good. Now, what we've been doing up until now is that we've been explaining our Mishnah through the lens of Rav. Right, Rav says that the machlokes between Rabbi Huna and Rabbi Meir is by a neser that's dalat tfachim. Our Mishnah is talking about a neser that's dalat tfachim. Good. And now it worked out really well according to Rav. But now here comes the problem. That was just Shitas Rav. We know in yesterday's daf there was also Shitas Shmuel. Let's quickly reset. How does the machloket look through the eyes of Shmuel at dalat tfachim? We have no argument. Everyone agrees that that is also mishum gzeres tikra. At anything less than three tfachim, kuleyama, according to everybody, it's fine. And it's kanim ba'alma. And anywhere between three and four, that's a machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, now, our Mishnah over here is talking about tikra shein la ma'aziva, and as Rashi says, and we're going to continue with this assumption that the tikra under discussion is made up of beams of four tfachim. According to Shmuel, it is usur bein la Rabbi Yehuda and bein la Rabbi Meir. Now, how do you understand our Mishnah according to Shmuel? That's the next challenge of the Gemara. Hanichal Rav Damra Machloks B'sheish Bem Arba De Rebbe Meir Islu Gzeres Tikra Rav Yehuda Leisle Gzeres Tikra El Lishmol Damra B'she'in Behen Arba Machlokes Aval Yesh Behen Arba Divra Akol Psula Seifa B'mai Pligi. Okay, so now the obvious difficulty is that according to Shmuel, where the beam is for Tfachim, we have no debate whatsoever. And that means to say that they both would agree that it will be Asur Mishum Gzeres Tikra. So now, how could it be? Meaning, according to Shmuel, how did you understand our Mishnah? So Rabbi Yehuda says that for Beis Shammai, you're mefakvig v'nota achas mi bein time. And again, we'll stay with the pshat, which is that you're going to have to take out every other beam. Good, check. I get that. Beis Hillel says that you could do either or. What? You could do either or according to Beis Hillel? If we're talking about a beam before tzvachim, how's pickbook going to help? Manipulation? You pick it up, you put it back down again? In other words, according to Shmuel, we have now a beam of four tzvachim, which according to both Rabbi Yehuda and according to Rabbi Meir, is usur. So how is picking up and putting it down going to help again? So the Gemara says like this, Bibitule tikra kamiflege. Marsavar batla bahachi, marsavar bahachi la batla. So the Gemara explains like this. Look, you're right. According to Shmuel, it's going to be a little bit challenging, but the Gemara says the following chiddush. A beam of four tefachim is going to be aser and a subject to gzeres tikra. Within gzeres tikra, did the chachamim allow any kind of remediation? Is there a way to correct for gzeres tikra? Now it's kind of funny because if you remember yesterday's daf, right? The Gemara wanted to know. Let's say I have the beam and it's on its wide side and I put it on its narrow side. Does that help? Yes or no? And the Gemara's conclusion yesterday was no. Of course, it doesn't help. Meaning, once it's usher because of gzeres tikra, it's usher. In other words, it's like shpudim shamateches, right? If you remember the Gemara from yesterday. So over here, I know it's a little bit challenging to understand, but here's what the Gemara is suggesting. I take my four tefach beam, I pick it up, I put it down again. And according to Shmuel, the debate now in the Mishnah is that that misakein? Have you now identified the problem? Problem is, it looks like the roof of my house. And have you solved for the problem? Oh, when I pick it up and I put it down again, I've now declaratively stated that this is no longer a roof, it's schach. And does that help? Look at Rashi. Rashi writes, "Bebetule tikra klomer." I'm lechashmul olam b'sheish b'hem arba'a v'lo haisa kan tikra mitchila v'achshav hu ba'la sachech b'hu l'shem sukkah. You're right. In other words, the beams are for tefachim, and now you want to make it a sukkah. I feel the Rav Yehuda apostle degashrim b'shem tikra shalo yavo v'yeshev tachas koros beiso v'yomer mali zem mali chadasha. And again, the problem is that it looks like the beams in my house, and people will not see the difference between being in a sukkah and being in your home. Avahash dezu tikra haisa, but now that it's a tikra, uvali day maisa lasos l'shem sukkah, and now what you want to do is that you are declaring that this is going to be made l'shem sukkah. V'zeh mochiach, and by picking it up and putting it back down again, that is a hochacha. She yodesh amra tor tasev alam anasui. So pliga Rav Yehuda Rav Meir ika su lemigzar mishum tikra olo. Now that you pick it up and put it down again, does the gzera continue from this point going forward? Where Rav Yehuda would say, it no longer continues. And Rav Meir says, no, of course the gzera continues. Okay. It is admittedly, it's a difficult shot in the Mishnah, but according to Shmuel, you have to say something. Meaning for Shmuel, who says that by Dalet Tfachim, everyone agrees that it's Aser, so then how are you reading our Mishnah? Where our Mishnah clearly is talking about it, not clearly, but according to Rashi, talking about beams of four Tfachim, and according to Rav Yehuda, pick it up and put it back down again, and that's enough, that's sufficient. So why? So again, according to Shmuel, what you'll say is a Chiddush in our Mishnah, that according to Rav Yehuda, you can have this concept of Bittul Tikra. Meaning by picking up and putting it down again, you're clearly demonstrating an understanding that I can't live in a house, and this is not a house, it's a sukkah. Okay.
It's also he's saying that Baal Tikra only applies to the moment of construction.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Correct.
And that's about is when Baal Tikra...
Right, applies. Correct. When this gzera takes effect, and is there a way to solve for the gzera? Okay.
If you just loosen them and you put them back, but then in the roof, the planks are close to
yeah.
So there's no chamsa.
Okay. The
you really There's no sunlight at all coming through.
Right, right. We'll talk later in terms of whether there can be any visibility. Right, there has to be some visibility between the schach. Okay, we'll talk about that. That's coming up later in our perek. But meanwhile, okay, I hear your problem. But right now, our focus is on the kavana of what is the whether the schach is a looks like the roof, the chachamim made gzera, whether there's a way to solve for that gzera. Okay, admittedly. Okay, that part challenging. It, just to say it simply, it is more challenging to read our Mishnah according to Shmuel than it is for Rav. Okay, but the Gemara obviously makes an attempt. Again, the Gemara here is going to defend both positions. They both are viable positions. Okay, we up to the next Mishnah. We're in Tesvav Amad Aleph, Amekar Sukkas B'Shvudim Abaruch Osamita. So let's say that you put on your Sukkah Shpudim, metal rods. Metal rods are Mekabel Tama. They cannot be used for schach. Period. End of discussion. Or arukos amita, the post of your bed, the frame of your bed. Right now, we're assuming that we're talking about the whole bed, parts of the bed. Anyway, the bed is obviously a kli, and it's going to be mekabel tuma. So basically, the Mishnah is saying, look, you're putting material up on your schach that certainly is not kosher schach, metal beams, bed posts, things that are mekabel tuma. So now, im yesh revach b'neim kamosam k'shera. So now, you need, obviously, kasher schach. So if the area between the metal rods are equivalent to the area of the rods themselves, so then, and obviously, you fill in that area with kasher schach, so then you are good to go. Otherwise, it's no good. Okay, we're going to explain that better in just a moment. And then finally, the next case in the Mishnah, chotit begadish la'asos lo sukkah eino sukkah. Have a haystack, hollow out the haystack, and go inside, it's like an igloo, but, you know, in shape. But it's no good. And the reason why it's no good is we have already established that is the classic case of Tasav Lomanasui. You didn't make it. The schach was there already. And that's, the requirement of the schach is that you have to be making the schach. Chagasukos, Tasalach. It has to be an asiya, an active making of the schach. Good. That's not necessary. A flat roof is not necessary.
No.
We already saw. We're going to see more. Roofs can go in an incline, right? Remember, the case is that you just simply lean the schach up against a vertical wall, and the schach is at a 45-degree angle, and that's fine. Okay. Well, no. Does not have to be flat horizontal. Okay. Lematavatiyufta derav huna bered derav Yeshua deidmar. Okay, so the Gemara over here understands as follows. Now, again, if you have a picture, it's great because it really will help you visualize. But conceptually, it's really simple. You have pasul schach, kasher schach, pasul schach, kasher schach. Okay, in segments, alternating, and the Mishnah says that as long as you have an equal amount of kasher schach to pasul schach, so the Mishnah says it's fine. It's fine. Now that's a little bit difficult to understand because what did we learn back in the Mishnah on the first half of the Masechta? You need more kasher schach than you need pasul schach. With the indication would clearly be over there that 50-50 is no good. Okay, over here in our Mishnah sounds like 50-50 is fine. Now certainly here's what we could say with confidence: 49-51, 49% kasher schach, 51% pasul schach. That's no good. That we could say with confidence. From our first Mishnah, it sounds like 50-50 is no good. Okay, we're going to, in a little bit, the Gemara, not today's daf, but in a little bit, we're going to address the question of what do we say about 50-50. For our purposes right now, let's assume that 50-50 is okay. And I know that the first Mishnah of our Masechta would indicate otherwise. Now, the Gemara wants to know, in general, throughout Shas, is 50-50 okay? So let's take, for example, says the Gemara, the walls on Shabbos. Okay, in order to be inscribed within a structure on Shabbos, so you need it to be in an enclosed area. What's the definition of an enclosed area? So it happens to be that we touched on this point earlier in our Masechta here in Sukkah, Dav Zayin, hopefully I'm correct. So the idea is that to be in an enclosed area, you need more physical wall than you need airspace, right? And that is Amud Meruba Ala Parts. You need more wall than airspace. We're talking about the total area that it circumscribes around. Good. That is an enclosure. Otherwise, for Shabbos, it's not considered an enclosure. If you have wall, but you have more airspace than you have wall, so then that's no good. Right? It's a disqualifies enclosure. I'll just remind all of us, that's the big chiddush of the diyumdin. Right? Remember we talked about if I have four brackets and four corners. So for the Ole Regalim, the rabbis made a dispensation that you could use that. Even though all you got is just the brackets, meaning, and you have a lot of airspace in between. That clearly is Parvitz Omid Ala Maruba. Okay. And for Aliyah LaRegel, so the rabbis made a dispensation. How can they make a dispensation? It's a great question. I'm not going to discuss it now, but they did. But generally speaking, you need more wall than airspace. Now, what if it's 50-50? So the Gemara discusses and deliberates that very point. The Gemara in Erevin touches on that very point. It happens to be great, by the way. It's Gemara in Erevin on Daf Tesvav. We're learning now Sukkah Daf Tesvav. Okay, we have a fighting chance of remembering. So, Paritz Ka'omed, Rav Papa Amar Mutter. So the Gemara brings down over here. We're back in our Gemara. We're three lines down from the bottom. So when it's equal amounts of wall and airspace, it's a machlokas. Rav Papa says it's fine. Rav Huna Bered Rav Yeshua Amar Aser. He says it's not fine. We don't have a Rishos Yachin. It's not an enclosure. So now when you take our Mishnah over here and compare it to what the opinion is of Rav Huna Bered Rav Yeshua, it seems to be that we have an incompatible position. Where Rav Huna Bered Rav Yeshua says that 50-50 is no good when it comes to enclosures. Over here in our Mishnah, we're learning that schach non-schach, at a clip of 50-50 is fine. Okay, so that's a problem. Amlecha Rav Huna Bered Rav Yeshua, my kamosa menichnas v'yotze. So the Gemara says, well, you have to read the Mishnah in the following manner. I know the Mishnah says that if you have the same amount of airspace as you do the pasul schach, but the way you really have to read our Mishnah is you have more, right? Benichnas v'yotze. Meaning that what you could do is that gap, that airspace, which eventually is going to be filled in with kasher schach. So if I take any one of those metal poles, what it does is it slides in and out. That means by definition, the gap is wider than the actual metal pole. Oh, okay, fine. That's how you understand our Mishnah. So the Gemara says, did you have to understand the Mishnah that way? V'ha efshel et samtsem. So the Gemara says, why can't we be precise? Meaning we have the ability to be precise. Now, throughout Shas, we happen to debate this very issue of whether Efshel et Samtsem or Efshel et Samtsem. And you can see Tosus over here, starting on the Amud Alf, going well into the Amud Beis, discusses whether or not we subscribe to this idea that we can or cannot be precise. For our purposes right now, and to make a longer discussion much shorter, let's assume we can. Let's assume we can. So the Gemara says, so why did you have to read our Mishnah that the gaps are wider than the metal? If we assume that we can be mitzamtzem and we can be precise, so why can't you read our Mishnah with precision? Our Mishnah is talking about where the width of the metal poles are equal to the width of the gaps. And if that's true, once again, hadra kusha l'duchta, we're back to our question. Now our Mishnah does not sit well with the position of Rav Huna Bered Rav Yeshua. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Ami b'madif. So Gemara gives two answers. Answer number one is that you're right, we can be precise. But even though we can be precise, but our Mishnah is not. Meaning, our Mishnah intentionally is talking now where the gaps are wider than the metal poles. And again, the gaps will be filled in with kasher schach. I'm just right now just contrasting. So the gaps are wider than the metal poles. Not because we can't be precise, we can. But because we need more schach than we need pasul, so therefore the gaps are deliberately going to be made wider than the poles. Eventually the gaps are going to be filled in with kasher schach. That's what our Mishnah is describing, according to Rav Huna Bered Rav Yeshua. So therefore our Mishnah is not against Rav Huna Bered Rav Yeshua. Okay. Admittedly, it's reading a lot into the Mishnah, but okay, that's one pshat. Rav Amar Filotema B'Shem Adiv, Im Hayu Nesunim Shesti, Nosnim Erev, Erev Nosnim Shesti. A second answer given by Rav is the following. You're assuming that everything is running parallel one with another. You have the metal poles, and then you have the gaps, and everything's running parallel in alignment. And the Mishnah says that if the gaps are equal to the metal poles, so then it's fine. But the problem is that doesn't go. That's not in accordance with the opinion of Rav Huna Bered Rav Yeshua. So what Rav's answer is the following. Let's change our assumption. Let's take our schach and not run the schach in parallel with the metal poles. Let's now have them perpendicular. Okay. Now to run them perpendicular, what does that mean? It means now, and by the way, we don't even need like the schach to be running all the way across perpendicular. It's just simply, obviously, in order for the schach to catch I'm going to put a little bit of the schach on one side of the pole and a little bit of schach on the other side of the pole. And the schach now, obviously, it's going to be filling in the gap. But because it has to run a little bit over the pole, so that means that the sum total of the schach is going to have more area coverage than the metal poles themselves. Okay, that's an excellent question. I'll ignore that for the time being. The point is really good. Okay, let me just solve for the Gemara's problem, and then what you're doing is you're introducing a fantastic issue, which is that you're not allowed to put schach on a davar mekabel tuma. Okay, we'll talk. The Gemara is going to touch on it a little bit later on. So let's wait till we see it in the Gemara. But the point is excellent. Okay, so with that stated, so now we have two ways to solve. Again, the problem is, according to Rav Huna Breder of Yeshua, mechza mechza is no good. We see that by Shabbos, by enclosures, so that if I 50-50, so according to Rav Huna Breder of Yeshua, you do not have a valid enclosure. It's not a Rishos Yachid. And meanwhile, over here, by our Mishnah, it sounds like the 50-50 is good, by the Schach. You have Schach Pasol, followed then by Schach Pasol. Our Mishnah says that if it's 50-50, it's fine. Obviously, our Mishnah does not bode well for Rav Huna Breder of Yeshua, and the Gemara presents two answers to this question. Answer number one is that we are talking about where the gaps, where the schach is going to go, is going to be wider than the metal poles. That's answer number one. Answer number two is that we're not laying the schach parallel together with the schach pasul, but rather they're perpendicular. Okay, and therefore, by definition, there's going to be more schach than there is airspace. I'm sorry. There's going to be more schach than there's going to be the metal poles. Okay. Those are the two ways to resolve for the shita of Rav Huna Breder of Yeshua. Okay. O Barukos Amita. All right. Now, this really goes well into tomorrow's daf, but we have a minute. We have 2 minutes. We have more than 2 minutes. Let's quickly just run through this next little piece of section of the Gemara. Our Mishnah is describing where I have schach kasher and schach pasul on top. And the point of the Mishnah is that as long as I have equal amounts, they're going to be good. And I know Rav Huna Breder Rav Yeshua is not happy with the way I just presented it, but that's a simple reading of the Mishnah. Okay. Now, the Mishnah over here in terms of Schach Pasul gives us two examples. One, metal poles. Right? That's the Shpunim Shamateches. The other example of our Mishnah is Aruko Samita. Now, Aruko Samita is basically the frame of a bed. Now, a bed's interesting, by the way. It's for sure Mekabel Tumo. Even though, if you look at the construction of the bed, is there really a toch in the bed? Now, with the wooden frame, no. In other words, the wooden frame is just exactly that. In other words, there are pieces of wood that, you know, put in one with another, and it's hard to say that it's a toch. I guess once you put in the, you know, mattress or whatever they use as an equivalent to mattresses, right? Back in the day, they just wove some sort of some sort of string, some sort of rope over there, and you lie down on the rope. Okay, look like, you know, like a cot. Right? And they put straw on top. Okay, fine. But when all said and done, a bed, it's easy to see a bed as a functional kli. In other words, even though, hard for me to pinpoint exactly where the toch is, but nevertheless, a bed is a kli. Right? We could say that simply. And so therefore, if I take the frame of the bed and use it as my schach, the bed is a kli, the kli is mekabel tuma, and so therefore it's not going to work.
Excellent.
Okay, so but over here, presumably, you're not just lifting the bed and putting it up on top of the frame of your sukkah. You're taking it apart, which brings us to the Gemara. Perfect. So the Gemara says, "Lema Misael of the Rabbi Ami Bar Tiv Yumi Damer Rav Ami Bar Tiv Yumi Schacha Bevlay Kalim Psula." So now, if I have something which was a kli. And now I take it apart. Can I use those pieces now as a my schach? Or let's put the question a little bit better. Is it still mekabel tuma? Okay. Now there is a statement made by Rabbi Ami Bar Tav Yomi. He says that if I have bavlai kalim, I have let's say clothing. I'm not sure. No. Yeah. I have clothing and these are just they're tattered. Now Rashi points out over here they're less than 3 by 3. So less than 3 by 3 means that they no longer have the shear that makes up an amount that would be mekabel tumah. Okay, so now they were once upon a time a kli that's mekabel tumah, and now they're not. Can I use a maschach? Now the answer should be yes. Less than 3 by 3, it's not mekabel tumah. However, Rabbi Ami Bar Tavyumi says that over here, the chachamim made gzeira. Now I know it's a funny daf, by the way, because on the Amud Aleph of today's daf, what did we learn together? That if I have a board that is cut and you know and sanded, but it's not yet a kli, and therefore the chachamim did not make a gzeira. So it's interesting when you're heading in the direction of in process to becoming a kli. It's obviously as long as it's not yet a kli, it's not mekabel tumah, and you could use it for the schach. Going in the other direction, meaning it was a kli, but now it's somewhat disassembled or it's tattered, so you can't use it. Under those circumstances, the Chachamim did make a gzeira and said that you can't use it as chach. So, right, it took me a while to process, meaning this distinction between the Amud Aleph of today's daf and the Amud Beis of today's daf. In the Amud Aleph, you can use it as chach even though you've been processing it, but as long as it's not yet a kli, no, Chachamim weren't goes there. In the other direction, where it was a kli, but now it's just simply tattered, you can't. The Chachamim were goes there, and you cannot use that as chach. Okay, and I can right. If I'm not going to try to do it right now, but I could try to formulate. You know, what's the difference between heading towards becoming a kli or once upon a time it was a kli? All right. Again, we're right now talking about where you took it apart. You disassembled it. Okay, good. Right there. You could say it that way, but with the tattered clothing, though, it's really hard to argue that. Okay, so now what the Gemara thinks to do is that look, we now have a good support. Rabbi Ami Bar Tavyumi. Rabbi Ami Bar Tavyumi says that if I have clothing that's now in a tattered state and not mekabel tumah, the chachamim made gzeira. You can't use that as a schach. And let's bring a proof now from our Mishnah, because our Mishnah is talking about a bed frame, but you're not putting the bed frame up on your schach. You disassembled it. But it was a kli, and therefore the Chachamim made it there. You can't use it as chach. Okay. So the Gemara says, right? So it's good. Everything's good. So, and Lema, let's just read that again. Lema Messiah le Rabbi Ami Bar Tavyumi. Damar Rabbi Ami Bar Tavyumi is chacha bevlai kelim psula. So the Gemara says, not necessarily. Meaning our Mishnah is not necessarily a proof. Keda Amar Rav Chanan Amar Rabbi Baruka v'shtei karayim b'ktsara u'shtei karayim. So the Gemara says is that the bed was not fully disassembled. The bed was only partially disassembled. Now over here, once again, if you have a picture, that's really good. It'll be really helpful. He has a picture? Yeah, okay, yeah. So if you have a picture, it's really helpful. But basically what, and the Gemara is going to make this point even clearer tomorrow, but in other words, our partially disassembled bed has enough material where if all I have is just a wall, I could lean it on the wall and it would be functional. Meaning I have not really disassembled it. I took out, let's say, one of the long poles or one of the long posts, but still it can be used as a bed. It's still serviceable. It's still functional. And that's why our Mishnah says that you cannot use it as your schach. But if it were, let's say, for example, fully disassembled, maybe that'd be fine. So all the it's not the absolute way to read the Mishnah. You could read the Mishnah that way, and if you do, it no longer serves as a proof for Rabbi Ami. Now, of course, we love to prove Rabbi Ami, but you know how the Gemara goes. The Gemara does this all the time, and that is the proof is only a proof if it's an absolute proof. If there's another way to read the Mishnah, so the Gemara will just simply point out, and our Mishnah no longer serves as an absolute proof to prove a particular position. Okay, we'll stop over here. Hey, Chay Itmar, we'll pick it up tomorrow. But in the meantime, however, let's quickly review the daf today. First half of today's daf, we started with a Mishnah, continuing the discussion from yesterday's daf of Gzeres Tikra. Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, once again, are talking about a Tikra. It has a roof made up of slats that are 4 tefachim each. And exactly, the problem, of course, is now, it's not a kasher sukkah. How do you resolve for that problem? So Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir deliberate and quote Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel in terms of what the proper solution is. Okay, now, in terms of a review, it's very hard because in order to properly review the Mishnah and the Gemara, you really have to go through every point, meaning how to read the Mishnah, how to explain each point in the Mishnah. So let's just say the following, that according to Rav, the way to understand this morning's Mishnah is that it's just a continuation of yesterday's Mishnah. We have not broken any new ground. It's just simply, it's the dialogue that takes place between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda going back to yesterday's Mishnah. That's the way Rav understands our Mishnah. According to Shmuel, actually, there is new ground being broken by in our Mishnah. Because again, according to Shmuel, when it is a Neser Dal Tfachim, according to everybody, it cannot work as your Sukkah because of Gzeres Tikra. So then according to Shmuel, how do you read our Mishnah? Our Mishnah, according to Shmuel, is read in that despite the fact that your Neser of Dal Tfachim cannot be used, but it's possible, at least according to the Shita of Yehuda, to solve for this problem. Picking it up and putting it back down again, that resolves Gzeres Tikra. That is a clear indication that you are no longer, you recognize that you can't be in your house and you have to be in your sukkah. That is absolutely a novel way to read a Mishnah, but according to Shmuel, you have to say something. That's the pshat that he offers in our Mishnah. And obviously, Reb Meir would not agree with such a pshat. That was the first part of today's daf. Second part of today's daf is that if I use non-kosher schach on my sukkah, obviously, that's no good. And if I have equal measures of schach and non-kosher schach, that would be fine. And the Mishnah says that if you're chote begadish, if you hollow out the haystack and then live in the haystack as your sukkah, that's no good, because that is a classic scenario of tasev alo mina asui. Okay, actually, it's mina asui, which is no good. There are two issues that were discussed on our Gemara today. Number one, when our Mishnah says that you have equal amounts of schach kasher, schach pasul, so our Mishnah says it's good. So according to Rav Papa, that's great, meaning because he happens to subscribe to that in terms of enclosures by Shabbos, that 50-50 is fine. But according to Rav Huna Bereder of Yeshua, where 50-50 is not fine. So according to Rav Huna Bereder of Yeshua, so how did you understand our Mishnah? So he says, well, I'll give you two ways to understand our Mishnah. Either, number one, our Mishnah is not talking about 50-50. I know it says that in the Mishnah, but you're going to have to read the Mishnah where the gaps are wider than the actual schach pasul, the gaps where we're going to put in the schach kasher. That's one possibility. And the second possibility is that our Mishnah is talking about where the schach is not laid parallel with the schach pasul, but rather perpendicular. And then by definition, you're going to have more schach kasher than you are going to have schach pasul because of the overlap. And then the last thing that we discussed today is the bed frame that's put on top of my schach. So it's not mekabel tumah, even if I disassemble the frame. So that's a simple way to read the Mishnah. And if that's true, then we have a proof for Rabbi Ami Bar Tavyumi, which is that if you have something that was a kli, even after the point of disassembling, or in the case of clothing, it becomes tattered. So nevertheless, as gzeira d'rabbanan, you cannot use it as chach. And our Mishnah now would seem to support that. The Gemara says not necessarily. Maybe our Mishnah is talking about where it was partially disassembled, but still functional. And then if that's the way to read the Mishnah, so then no longer does it serve as a proof for Rabbi Ami. Adkan.